Are you willing to go to hell for the Democrat Party? I mean, it appears that Barack Obama is, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Senator Warnock, Congresswoman Pelosi, they all seem to be willing to go to hell for the Democrat Party. Are you willing? Hell and the Democrat Party on the next Trusting the Truth.
Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing? This is Sam Tolley with Trusting the Truth. And today, I'm going to talk about hell and the Democrat Party. Hell is a subject that a lot of people don't like to talk about. And then you'll get people off the top that say, oh, here goes Sam, hell and Democrat Party. Because you're a Democrat, you're going to hell. I didn't say that. Basically, my question is, will you allow the Democrat Party to drag you into hell? You know, some people don't understand me. There are things in the Bible as a professing Christian that I naturally just don't like. I don't like the idea of eternal damnation, of people being tormented forever. I don't like any of that stuff. But the fact of it is I'm the clay and he's the potter. When I read the Bible, I look at it to see what God is telling us. And I just have to tell the truth. I say, well, when I talk about a subject like this, I'm talking from a position of love and care. You know, we have a society now and it gets this weird, warped idea that, oh, if you say this and that, you're not loving, you're not being gracious, you're not being understanding, you're not being inclusive. I'm including this for everybody. And by the way, I don't think anybody should go to hell for any political party or anybody, because on the day of judgment, you're going to be there by yourself, just you and the judge, God Almighty. But as an American, as a citizen of this country that I am in, we have two major political parties. And it's our right and our responsibility to act in those parties for the betterment of our country. Now, any party and any person that's advocating things that is against the will of God, I stand against. I will always stand against it. But right now, one party in particular, the Democrat Party, seems to be, no pun intended, hell-bent on doing everything possible to denigrate the God of the Bible and what he wants from us. And It's my understanding, or better yet, my position is this. Regardless of what political party, Democrat, Republican, Independence, or whatever, I will try to operate with the group of people, the party, or individuals whose policies are closer to a biblical worldview than the ones that isn't, with the goal of always trying to help society and the culture is large, get to a biblical worldview, get closer to the God of this world, the God of the universe. That's my purpose. That's my goal. You know, some people think that I'm some kind of Donald Trump idolater, which I'm not. I think Donald Trump was put here at this time for certain purposes to get God's work done. And whether he's a believer or not, it's not the point. The point is, if God is using him to move this country in a better way, then I'm supposed to help that. Yeah, I can go back to biblical people and look at how God used Nebuchadnezzar, how God used Cyrus, how God used Darius. God used many people, and many of them were unbelievers, to move his agenda forward. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm always supposed to try to move his agenda forward. But I'm also supposed to speak out against those things that God is against. And right now, it seems unequivocal that the Democrat Party is just bent on standing against the God of the Bible. Therefore, I have to stand against the Democrat Party. And I'm going to give you a few examples of why I believe what I believe. I named off several individuals at the beginning of this podcast. And I don't have time to go through all those people. So I'm going to pick a couple and a couple of situations. And I'm going to bring plenty of scriptural evidence. So first up, I want to talk about this gentleman. Let me get him up here. So this picture I'm trying to bring up is Governor Gavin Newsom of the great state of California, my former home state, the state I grew up in. This man has been governor for about 6 years, and he's into the end of his second term. And in my humble opinion, he has been a total disaster. But the state of California is completely run by Democrats, and they've been a disaster. We have, or they have, some of the highest taxes in the country, besides having some of the most debased policies. Last I understood, California is a sanctuary, not just a sanctuary city, I mean, state for illegals, but a sanctuary state for transgenderism. That's the mutilation of kids. I'm going to talk about that a little later, but I will say this right now. It appears, from what I understand, that say if there's two parents in a adjoining state or a separate state, one parent has custody of the child, and the other parent wants this child to go through transgender procedure. If the non-custodial parent takes that kid to California, California will not honor extradition paperwork from the custodial state. And that non-custodial parent could take that child to California and have all kinds of stuff done to it. California is illegal for anyone under the age of 18 to receive counseling if they have gender dysphoria. That means if a child thinks they're of the opposite sex for whatever reason, and in California there's a lot of indoctrination going on in the schools, which they do not have to tell the parents. It's illegal for that child to get counseling. But now, after the horrendous fires in California, and I'm not going to get into all that stuff, I did it in other videos, you can look it up, and other things, Gavin Newsom has started a podcast where he's inviting conservatives onto his podcast. And what he's doing, I believe, is trying to position himself as a moderate. So in 2028, he can run as a presidential candidate. He's trying to walk away from the extreme, vile, totally Marxist, leftist ideology he's been propagating throughout the state since he was mayor of San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities in the nation that is now in a cesspool. An area that's so bad with crime that many people will not lock their car doors because people will bust their windows to see something's in it. So they'll leave the car doors open so people can just open it up and see if there's anything in there worth stealing. And they also had poop maps That's right. Maps for people to know where not to walk because of human feces on sidewalks. So Gavin Newsom is trying to position himself for higher office. But I'm going to show you something that's real debased from Mr. Newsom that happened a few years ago. Let's get him out of here. Hold on a second. All right. Mr. Newsom, you got to go. And I want to show you, Gavin Newsom was advertising abortions in other states. Oops, that's not what I want. Hold on. He was advertising other states to come to California and get an abortion. Mr. Newsom, it's amazing to me. I got to see where I put this stuff. What he did was so vile and so ungodly that it's beyond comprehension. Here is, once I get it up here on the screen, a picture of the advertisement. What this is, it says, need an abortion? California is ready to help. Now, what you may not be able to see because of the small print, it says, need an abortion? California is ready to help. Learn more at abortioncalifornia.gov. Below that, he has Mark 12:31. That's right, a biblical verse. Mark 12:31, which says, he didn't put out the whole verse. He puts out, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting, you know, Jesus is quoting back from the Old Testament. And I'm going to give you the full context. So he's going to use a biblical scripture to support killing God's creation. It's amazing. It is horrible and totally godless. Let's see here. Let's get you to context. So this ungodly man, we'll start from Mark 12 and 28 and go to 31. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Or many Bibles say, or the greatest, what is the greatest commandment? I like to paraphrase, okay, Jesus, just get down to the punchline. So he said, the foremost, and this is out of the North America Standard Bible, 1995 edition, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you do not love yourself? The average person, the person who isn't mentally ill, the person who's in their right mind, the person whose life is somewhat tolerable today, loves himself a lot. And they're going to take care of themselves. Matter of fact, they're going to feed themselves. They're going to wash themselves. They're going to make sure that their self is okay. The last thing they're going to do is kill themselves. They're not going to do that, you know, unless they got some kind of mental issue, some kind of total pressure in their life, something that's got them all screwed up. So here this man twists his Bible on its head and advocates killing God's creation and uses God's word to do it. This man is evil, and he is a Democrat, and they've elected him twice in the state of California. Between the first and second time, they had a, I think it was between the first and second time, they had a recall, and he survived the recall. That just shows you how bad California is. And it would seem like Christians should be raising all kinds of sand, but they put up with this man. This man is a godless, demonic person who's standing in the way of God's word, standing in the way of God's will. So as we talk about abortion and God's creation, let me show you something else. Just for those who do not understand what is what. Let us see here. I don't think I posted that, but I'll just go ahead and read it. In Psalms 139, 13 through 15, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." Here is the psalmist talking about how God created him in his mother's womb. How God created him. We just read this video, passage where this man's against what God said. And just to highlight how God feels about killing the unborn, in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, it says the following: "There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue." There's no bigger lie than using God's word to justify killing his creation when God wants you to save his creation, and hands that shed innocent blood. What blood is more innocent than those of the unborn? A heart that devises wicked plans. I think Mr. Newsom fulfills all three of those. Easy. Because it's a wicked plan to use God's word to justify killing God's creation when God doesn't want his creation killed at all. The innocent blood of a child. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Yeah. A false witness who utters lies. That's the same. I guess you got lies in there twice. We're going to have another thing on lies. Revelation 21 and 8. And one who spreads strife among brothers. Well, this guy is no brother. No doubt about that. But you have these so-called Christians that go to church every Sunday and they vote for people like this. This is why I'm talking about letting the Democrat Party drag you to hell. Anything you put before God is your God. You need to understand it. You know, you can sit over here and say, "I love the Lord," but whatever comes before him is your God. You know, Jesus made it clear when he said, "These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You don't think he knew what he was talking about? I want to show you a video about killing babies. I'm not going to show you any graphic death scenes, but I want you to see this.
What would you say is now the number one cause of death in the African American community?
Heart disease.
Oh, HIV, AIDS.
Diabetes. Cancer. AIDS.
I'll say heart disease.
AIDS.
From what I heard, it's probably AIDS, you know?
Probably heart disease.
I think heart disease.
HIV. Gang violence.
What if I told you the real answer was abortion?
Since 1973, legal abortion has killed more African Americans than AIDS, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and violent crime combined. Every week, more blacks die in American abortion clinics than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. And the largest chain of abortion clinics in the United States is operated by Planned Parenthood.
See how we get rid of this one. You know, Mr. Newsom, all these abortion, most of the abortion centers throughout the United States are located in minority areas. Black people make up like 12-13% of the population, but have over like 35% of the abortions. In New York City, they have more abortions than white and Hispanic people combined. But what they say, the majority of black folks vote for the Democrat Party. And many black folks go to church every Sunday. I don't understand it. If you're for God, how can you line up with folks that are against God? You know, I want to show you a couple more little short ones. And this should really make somebody think.
We have now reached a point in this country that African American women, though they make up 12% of the population, they account for 37% of the abortions. An African American baby is almost five times more likely to be aborted than a white child. The abortion industry at this point kills as many African American people every 4 days as the Klan killed in 150 years. And you can truly say the most dangerous place for an African American to be is in the womb of their African American mother.
All of
Isn't that something? The most dangerous place you can be is in your mama's womb. And many of these people stand with abortion, stand with Planned Parenthood, stand with anything the Democrat Party advocates, even to their own destruction. Not just black people, but more black folks are aborted, percentage-wise. With white folks, Hispanic, all kinds of people that claim to worship the God of the Bible. And my point is, if you're for the God of the Bible, you can't be for all this stuff. You got to pick a side. And you just can't say, oh, yeah, I'm for God. I'm against that stuff. I'm against it. But you keep voting for them folks. That's like having the knife and handing it to the killer. Says, well, I ain't killing nobody. But I'm going to make sure you always have a knife available. I'm going to make sure you're always ready to go. We need to understand what's going on. And with the Democrat Party, who's only used black people for their convenience, they were a commodity in slavery. That was under the Democrat Party. And then when they quit being a commodity, they started trying to figure out ways that they can get rid of them, just like Margaret Sanger did, or like she advocated. You need to pay attention to what she had to say.
The minister's work is also important, and also he should be trained, perhaps by the Federation, as to our ideals and the goal that we hope to reach. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members.
In 1939, Margaret Sanger wrote that in a letter to fellow eugenicist Clarence Gamble regarding the American Birth Control League's Negro Project. Gamble was an heir to the Procter & Gamble fortune and a major financial backer of Sanger's. He also provided funding for other eugenics projects and even gave money directly to the North Carolina Eugenics Board that sterilized Elaine Riddick.
We don't want word to go out, and the minister is the one who can stop that. You know who the first recipient? You know, in 1966, they started the Margaret Sanger Award. Hillary Clinton received the award, I believe, in 2009. You know who was one of the first recipients to receive the Margaret Sanger Award when the first year came out in 1966? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, a lot of people say, oh, he didn't know what was going on. Margaret Sanger died in 1966. She had been around for many years advocating her policies. I would not think that this man was so naive as to be able to win the Nobel Peace Prize, go to college and theological college, although he, by his own admission, did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and did not believe in the godship of Jesus Christ, which by all those counts make him a non-Christian, didn't know what she was about. Now, whether he got paid, I don't know. But people make idols of folks. And he is one idol in the Black community that is running rampant and has been running rampant. And I would like to ask people, those that get offended when I talk about Dr. King and his legacy. When Dr. King was running around in the 60s, in the early 60s, the two-parent Black community was about 80 to 75%, two parents in a household. After the 60s and up to now, it's reverse. The two-parent Black household is somewhere around 27%. Remember, Jesus said, you can know them by their fruit. And what is the fruit that we've gotten from all that? The decimation of the Black household. But that's not what we're talking about. Not the destruction of the Black household. We're talking about, are you going to let the Democrat Party drag you into hell? And I made several videos on Dr. King that I think they're well worth your time if you take the time to look at it. But I want to talk about another idol, another Black idol, one more recent, one that when he came on the scene, I couldn't imagine just how it was going to be. And there he is, folks. Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. I remember when I first started hearing about Mr. Obama and people were getting all excited about him. And I was paying attention to what he was doing. I wasn't paying attention to his pigmentation. One thing that's unfortunate, and I've told people this and I mean it. I said, the most racist people I know are Black and all of them are Democrats. I said that some time ago and a whole lot of people got mad at me. And I still believe nothing has changed. And really, most of the people I know are Black. And most of the people I know that are Black are Democrats. So it's easy. to come to the conclusion that most of them are racist, but they're racist in respect that you need to be black, you need to vote the straight Democrat line, you need to vote whatever they say to do, you need to be a Democrat, just like Joe said, well, if you don't know the difference between me and Trump, you ain't black. Joe didn't say that frivolously. He knew that Democrats, black Democrats, do what they're told. Nothing has changed. So, I remember when Mr. Obama was elected, there was a lot of people running around with Yes We Can shirts on. People were all excited, all crying. You know, they were just all enamored in the fact that he won. I have a friend that's passed, that before he passed, he was telling me when Obama won, he cried. He said, because he didn't think that he would live to see someone that looked like him become president. And, you know, he and I think differently. Yes, I'd love to see a black man or a half black man or whatever, or a man with pigmentation like me be president. But I also think about reality. Who is best for the job? And I'm more pragmatic in the idea that if somebody knocks on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, can I come in? And just because, if the dude happens to be black, I'm not going to say, oh, you're black, come on in. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not letting anybody in. Therefore, I'm not just giving anybody my vote. My vote is precious. My vote would be used to do what's best for the nation. And what's best for the nation is always to look at it from a biblical worldview first. Now, Mr. Obama made it clear when he was running for office that he was for abortion. Matter of fact, I understand that when he was a state senator, they had bills going up where they're talking about if it was a botched abortion, just to let the baby lay in a room someplace until it dies. They call that comfort care. Well, I'm not voting for anybody that's for killing babies in the womb in any party. That's antithetical to God. I have to stand up for the Lord. But when Mr. Obama became president, I saw a level of idolatry that I had never saw before. I mean, this was something special. And I want to show you a small clip of some children singing the praises of Mr. Obama. Let me get this together here. Okay.
We're gonna spread happiness. We're gonna spread freedom. Obama's gonna change it. Obama's gonna lead 'em. We're gonna change it. We're gonna change the world.
But that's enough of that. Hope and change. I said many times, you know, when he was at Hope and Change, when he left office, I hoped I had some change left. And all these black folks that was raving for Obama, and the folks that I know that went to church, many of them said, oh, I'm not for abortion. And what was interesting about Obama also was when he was running for president, they had him go to him and McCain. And McCain, you know, he was a lousy candidate. But him and McCain went to this church, Rick Warren's church, Saddleback. And at that time, Obama said marriage was between a man and a woman, and God's in the mix. Telling everybody that he believed in marriage. Remember later on how stuff evolved? His theology evolved and he gave up marriage? God doesn't evolve. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How could Obama's theology evolve? I'm going to show you a short clip where the truth is nothing evolved. It was all a lie. It was all a lie designed to get him elected.
President Obama said early on when he was running for office and throughout that he was not for gay marriage. He then evolved his position on gay marriage. I said at the time, there's another word for evolving your position. You are lying about your position. You were full of crap to begin with. Well, I'm going to prove that to you today, but among the people who are going to help me is David Axelrod, former campaign manager and top aide to the president. He's got a new book out, so he's got to put some interesting revelations in there. One of the things that he reveals is that President Obama was never against gay marriage. Okay. I'm going to have two words for that in a second. First, let's give you what he has said. He said his opposition to gay marriage was that opposition to gay marriage was particularly strong in the black church. And so that was one of the reasons that they decided back in 2008 when he was running for office that he would pretend to be against gay marriage. If you thought President Obama was a different kind of politician, this is a bit of bad news for you.
David Axelrod was his first chief of staff. They didn't feel though they were strong enough to come out there and say, yeah, we're for homosexual marriage. In my humble opinion, Barack Obama is the worst president in history. Not from an economical position, but from the fact, like I said, I believe in God and God of the Bible. The first institution God created was marriage between one man and one woman. That's the foundation upon which he established our existence on earth. That is one of the reasons why he blessed this country and the world. Barack Obama helped destroy marriage in the United States by putting in Supreme Court justices that would say it's not equal. No, he's not equal. The man was evil. The man, and then all these black folks that still love him. The man was evil before he came in. He never believed that homosexuals' relationships should not be codified as marriage. He just lied. But he has an abomination that's maybe worse than that. This man, who never said that he wasn't against abortion, murdering babies in a womb, this man blasphemed God Almighty in the temple of Satan. Now, when I say the temple of Satan, I'm talking about a Planned Parenthood meeting, a Planned Parenthood podium. He said, Planned Parenthood, God bless you. Think I'm lying? Let's look at the evidence.
As long as we've got a fight to make sure women have access to quality, affordable health care, and as long as we've got to fight to protect a woman's right to make her own choices about her own health, I want you to know that you've also got a president who's going to be right there with you, fighting every step of the way. Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. God bless America.
Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. Any child of God, every child of God, should be mortified looking at that. But we got black folks that love this guy. They would never say anything against him. they're idolaters. At the same time, they claim that they love the God of the Bible. One more clip before I'm through with this idol. Back in 2012, when they had the Democratic Convention, the Democrats threw God out. But just like Obama thought that he couldn't get elected unless, the first time around in 2009, because of gay marriage, so he claimed that he was for marriage between a man and a woman. This time he claims that he's for God because they voted God back in three times. And three times the folks in that convention said no. And once, at the last time, they just ignored what the folks said and claimed it was yes. Think I'm lying? Look at the evidence.
Non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the Platform Drafting Committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no. In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no. I guess.
You've got a rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service.
Just like a true Democrat, lying through their teeth. That was two-thirds? Not even close. Matter of fact, I believe in all three times the no's had it. But it doesn't matter. When you're a Democrat, you lie about anything, everything. So this demon got reelected anyway. And even up until today, there's many black folks that still love Barack Hussein Obama. And he and many people like him is going to cause folks to be dragged into hell. Unless he repents and unless they repent, start standing up for the God of the Bible instead of the God of this world. Now, in the closing minutes, I want to talk about one last thing. Our children and this transgenderism thing. Democrats are all in. They're all in for child mutilation. They're all in for destruction. I've made several videos where I went into details. I'm not having time for details right now, but I want to show you the impact of this debauchery on our children. Little impressionable minds. And we're feeding them this garbage.
Hi, my name is Monica Sunbeam, and I'm here for Drag Queen Story Hour. This book is called Love the World by Todd Parr. The program teaches kids about self-expression and diversity because it helps them to learn acceptance. They may not be feeling different, but it helps them to know that there are other people who do feel different, and we should be respectful of people's feelings and how they are. They get a chance to see a fabulous drag queen, someone walking in their truth and being their true self. It allows them the courage to say, hey, I like to express myself a little bit differently, and if it's okay for that person, it's okay for me as well. At some point during the hour, I would like to just cry. I just get this really overwhelming feeling that this is awesome, you're doing something really good. And we can't stifle the creativity in children because we never know where it may take them.
That's a man. That was a man. And we have a man dressed up like that. This is just sickening. But let's get some Bible on this stuff real quick. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. That guy was effeminate. He was dressed up like a woman. A man is not supposed to be effeminate. A man is supposed to be a man. This lie that they're running around with, this toxic masculinity that's trying to feminize men. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That guy and people like that are swindling these little kids out of their innocence. He might be a homosexual too, and somebody that's enamored with somebody of the same sex the way you should be enamored with somebody of an opposite sex. The Bible doesn't put up with this crap. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, and he was quite detestable. As for the murderers, the sexually immoral, that being effeminate, a man dressing like a woman is immoral. Sorcerers and idolaters, getting back to like Obama, and all liars. That guy was dressed up like a woman, that's a lie. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Look, people, God puts this stuff out there because he's not playing. God is not playing. And we need to quit playing. If we want to see God, if we want to be in the kingdom of God, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous has no part in it. I got one more little drag clip for your entertainment or your revilement.
Actually aches for our trans children. While the drag ban bill may have been blocked, the trans youth healthcare ban has gone into effect here in Texas, preventing access to hormone blockers that are medically necessary for more than just trans youth. Gender-affirming care is life-saving. Access to healthcare is a basic human right. These policies disproportionately affect LGBTQIA+ youth and people of color. We have a duty to protect our most marginalized communities. Trans kids deserve to grow into healthy adults.
I don't even know where to go with that. You see that? That was at the 2024 Texas Democrat Convention. This, I don't know what that was. But this person is so twisted, they're saying that trans kids need to grow into healthy adults. The only way they could be healthy is to quit being trans. But this person is advocating puberty blockers and all kinds of stuff that messes them up. This is not God's will. And unless you want to end up on the wrong side of God, you, I, and everyone else needs to start thinking about what God's will is. Let us see here. I have two more scriptures I want to share with you. Matthew 18 and 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you see the analogy there? In other words, death is not going to be good enough for you. Death is only the start. Death, you'd be better off just drowned and dead. You'd be better off than what's going to happen to you. Death is not the end, but the beginning. People need to understand this. And when I get these people to talk to me about, oh, Sam, you know, you're not loving. No, not loving is not telling you what's going to happen. Here's my final set of scriptures. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9-12. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Yes, this loving God, you say, oh, God's love? Yeah, he gets mad too. Which is mixed in the full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be, not God, you, the bad guy, tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So, in a nutshell, it's like this. Trust in God. Do what God says. To the best of your ability, and you'll be okay. You'll be fine. Put your whole heart and allegiance in to the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't sit over here and say you love Jesus and keep following the wide road of destruction. Don't do it. The only person you're deceiving is yourself. Trust in God. Live for him. Speak out against wickedness. Get the wickedness out of your life. Have nothing to do with it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. But if you want to sit over here and play church, You want to sit over here and play like you're a servant of the Most High while you are facilitating debauchery, evil, wickedness, and promoting, whether as outwardly or inwardly, things that are antithetical to God, you're going to have to stand up for it. You can choose the narrow path. Jesus talked about there's a narrow path that few takes. If he's going to say few takes the narrow path, but the road of destruction is wide, think about it. Choose the narrow path. Don't let anyone, including the Democrat Party, drag you to hell. This is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.